Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Kate Abel.
Right. Well, thanks, worship team. That was amazing. Yeah. It's always sad to come out of God's presence, actually. but we need to anyway. And I'm a little worried that Daniel's going to run up after those notices and push me off. And actually him do the sermon, but we'll see how it goes. I thought I'd share with you today two of the most profound truths I learned at WAFI. I was there for a year as a student, and then we were there for 9 years on the team. And the first one is, Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. So Gwen and Paddy, if you do, you know, you're going to get your money's worth, because she's going to learn that. And I'm not trying to be funny and I'm not trying to be facetious, but for 9 years, this was spoken into me. This was taught me. And even I even spoke it sometimes. And actually knowing that gives you the foundation of knowing. And knowing. And knowing. Yes. And knowing.
Yes.
And knowing that whatever, Jesus loves me.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm just living in a season at the moment where I'm so convinced that God delights over me. I'm just so convinced that he's crazy about me.
Right.
He so totally gets me.
Yes.
That I'm enjoying him so much more.
That's right.
And so that was the first one. But the second one, and the one I'm going to talk on, is just as profound. And it is, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do. And that's the truth. And the question today is, how big is God in you? Ephesians tells us, a bit later on from what Paul was talking about this morning, actually. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory. Ephesians 3:20. That's the key to our Christian life. How much room is available in you, in your way of thinking, to allow God to do immeasurably more than we can even dream or imagine? Our thoughts determine how big God is going to be for us, and our thoughts determine what we do as well. And our perceptions of God can be affected from our past. You know, you can think back and see past discouragement or situations or circumstances, and it clouds what we really think about God deep down. And God gets shrunk by our experiences sometimes. And it's like that film, you know, Honey, Who Shrunk God? You know, Honey, Who Shrunk God in your life? What shrunk God in your life? Because he doesn't want to be shrunken in your life. He wants to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. When we live with a shrunken God, we start going through the Christian motions. And some of us are pretty good at it. I had a time about 12 years ago, and I'd lived with a shrunken God for so long that it just felt like there were maggots down deep. I'd come to church, I'd say the right thing to you, probably. But they were just like maggots eating away down in my tummy. And there was a joke at the time, and it really summed up how I was feeling. It's not a very funny joke, but there again, nor Paul's, so I'll give it a go.
I reject that.
There was a polar bear cub, and he goes to his mum and he says, Mum, am I really a polar bear? And she says, yeah, of course you are. You're furry and you're white. You're a polar bear. And the next day, the polar bear goes and says, Mum, are you really sure I'm a polar bear? She says, yeah, you're cuddly, you're white, you're furry, you live in the North Pole and you eat fish. Of course you're a polar bear. Why? He says, because I feel so cold. And that's how I felt. So cold. So cold. I was allowing the circumstances that had got on top of me and emotions and feelings to determine who God was for me. And I'd got to the stage where actually I was going to become a born-again atheist. It had got that cold. We go through Christian motions if we live with a shrunken God. So today, I want you to think about if there's anything that's at work within you that's shrinking God, because we want to get rid of it. We can have the power of hurt and disappointment or intimidation, or even the power of offence, greed, frustration, even shyness. They all shrink God out of us. And God doesn't want to be shrunken out of us. He wants to do immeasurably more. He's big, he's strong, he's mighty. And it is our personal responsibility to get rid of these things and this power that can push him and shrink him in us. And the only way I know how to do that is to take negative thoughts captive. Because I don't know about you, but if a negative thought comes and I don't take it captive, it captivates me. It captivates me by pulling me down. So I start thinking, well, you're rotten, you're no good at that, you're a lousy mother, flipping heck, your son had a broken arm for 5 days and you didn't even notice, you know, and then you did that, and then you did that, and then you did that. And you know, you get down into the pit. If you don't take that first negative thought captive, it will captivate you. And to do that, we need to personalise God's promises, you know, and know that Jesus loves me, this I know, because this tells me so. And like Paul's been doing recently, personalises those promises, you know, praying them out and personalising them, appropriating them, taking hold of them, start believing and trusting in them, and then that renews your mind. And God has more room in us, and we don't shrink him out. John 15 says, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You know, whatever. He's a big God, so ask him for what you want. You want a wife? You want a husband? You want children? You want finances? You know, you want a good church? Pray for it, you know? He says whatever. You know, pray for our towns and communities and nation and nations. But, you know, let's pray for the things we want too, because he's a big God and he loves us and he wants to give to us. I really feel at the moment that God is taking this church and this church body out of restriction and into a spacious place. I think we're enjoying a wonderful sense of the roominess of God, if that's a word. You know? It's just the vastness and the room in us. He's given us room. And so that's why we're always talking about we're a church on the move, because we want to move into this spacious place he's given us. We want to move into this room in us and into this vastness, because he wants us to grow and to flourish. And when you're restricted, you can't. But you've got more space, like a plant or a goldfish or something like that. You know, you put a goldfish in a little bowl and he stays small. You know, you put him in a pond, you can come and see my 4 goldfish. I'm very proud of them. But they're big, because they've got a big pond. They're in a roomy, vast place. And I really feel God's taking us into that roominess. And he wants us to explore this roominess and this vastness he's taken in, because he's taken us beyond what we know, beyond what we've had before. And he's just willing us on. He's willing us on, and he's just so willing to say yes and amen to us. And this is just a season where we're just seeing his blessings upon us, just with the open house. You know, people are just, it's a very sort of simple thing in the natural, but they're inviting their neighbours around, and then they're coming and they're having good conversations. You know, God's blessing it. He's given us room to grow, and as we step out and as we've taken captive those thoughts that say, I can't do that, that's too scary, you know, I can't invite anybody to that jazz evening, nobody will want to come with me, you know, and you get thinking like that, well, nothing's going to happen. But you just take those thoughts captive and go and do something. God just seems to be blessing it, and we're just seeing new growth popping up everywhere in people's lives and stuff. And so he just wants to unrestrict our minds. He wants us to have spaciousness almost in our imagination and our minds too. And I'm sure at the moment I'm just convinced he's in heaven, and he wants to astonish us. Yes. You know, he wants to amaze us. He's just sitting there thinking, God, they're going to be so amazed. Yeah. Flipping heck, look, they're pretty exciting now. Just imagine Jesus. Come the summer, you know, we're going to blow their minds. Then we're going to take their breaths away. Yeah, and that's what he wants to do. In us and through us. You know, we have a delightful inheritance. Let's go and get it.
Yes.
You know. Yes. I love John 15:5, and it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes. I love it. Because that means with him, I can do everything.
Yes.
I can do immense, enormous, vast, gigantic things. Because we're chosen, not frozen, like Paul was speaking about. We've been chosen to do something, so let's go and do it. Yeah, we can't do it without him, but with him, of course we can. It's great. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 54, and we're going to look about how I think you can make God big. Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. And it's a verse a lot of people know, but it's a good one. Enlarge the place of your tent.
Amen.
Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords.
Yes.
Strengthen your stakes.
Yes.
For you will spread out to the right and to the left.
Yes.
And your descendants will dispossess nations.
Amen.
And settle in their desolate cities.
Yes.
So how are we going to make God big in our lives? Well, one of the things we can do is the first word in that passage, and it says enlarge.
Yes.
Enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge your thinking.
Yes.
Enlarge your imagination. Make room for God.
Yes.
And enlarge your perspective and perceptions of God. You know, no, he's a big God. He's strong and mighty. There's nothing he cannot do. I was going to say Xander, but he's not there. Can you put my picture up? Sorry, Nathan. We need to enlarge how we perceive God. And when darkness and problems and trouble and stuff comes in, like it will, what do you see? And it's like that picture. What do you see? You see a dot. But look how big the rest of it is. It depends on what your focus is in. If you're focusing on the problem, if you're focusing on, and like that slide on the dot, yeah, it's there. But just look how immense and how vast and how much bigger God is.
Yeah.
You know, what do you make bigger in your life? We all magnify. It's part of who we are, you know. You know, you used to have some women. My mum's not going to listen to this, so that's okay. My mum, if she breaks her nail, oh, you know, boy, is that magnified. You know what I mean? I mean, not with me, because I'm not, you know, but I magnify the things in my lives, you know. Trying to think of something a man might magnify, a football game probably, or something like that. But, you know, things get magnified out of all proportion. Well, yes, men have flu, don't they? They never have a cold. It all gets magnified. And this is what we do as human beings. Something comes and we magnify it. It's part of who we are. So the thing is, we can either magnify the problem. We can either magnify that dot so it takes over our whole life, or we magnify God. And it's where we're focusing on. So we need to make God bigger and magnify him in the times of adversity and pressure that we're living through sometimes. And the great thing about that is that character is made in adversity. So when we see adversity now, it's almost like, I guess Paul and I have been through so much of it, it's almost like, okay, God, what are you teaching me through this? You know, because God teaches us and trains us in times of adversity. It's a time where we know, well, we have to know that he is God. In the good times, it's easy just to flow with it and that. But in times of adversity, it's the times when we actually have to dig down and know what we're standing on, who's our foundation. And so it's in those times that character is made. And God is training us to hold on to his fullness. And so many of you would have been through times what I've been, you know, you don't want to live through again. And we don't need to go back there. But it's like, well, praise, yeah, exactly. Praise the Lord it happened. Praise the Lord what he taught you. And praise the Lord that actually he formed something in you to be a carrier for what he's bringing us in the future.
Amen.
So enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Stretch. I love stretch. Stretch is almost just reach past your current limit. You know, if those chocolate biscuits are on the top shelf, just that extra little bit of, you know, stretch can get them, you know. And you think of an athlete that stretches, and they stretch before they have a race. And we're on the move, so we need to be stretchy and stretchable. And if we don't stretch, we get tight. And we can even seize up, you know. So we need to stay stretchy. And I've been really impressed since we came here at your stretchability. You know, we came, this mad pastor and his wife and even crazier son. He's a bit loud. And, you know, you've just stretched so much with us and with what God is saying. And I've been so impressed by that, because it's very easy when you're, you know, you're happy and you're say in your little box, but that sounds quite rude. But you know what I mean? You're happy and you're having a good time and God's blessing you. Well, why do you bother to stretch, you know? And it's like you've just been so stretchable. It's been great to see. But we need to continue being that stretchable, because God is taking us into this spacious place out of restriction. And he's changing our and renewing our mindsets. And I think sometimes he's shaking us out of the complacency and the religiosity that actually we can fall into, even as Kingdom Faith, we're not religious. Yeah, we are. We have our holy cows, you know. I loved Thursday night. For those of you were there, I loved Thursday night. I loved Thursday night because at the end of it, some people were turning to one another and saying, was that really the Holy Spirit? Because it was so different. You know, Donna's bluesy jazz singing in tongues, and well, I mean, it just blew me away. I was like, and the strange off sync, whatever it was, beat that happened at the end when, you know, Mike started his guitar and then Dan came in with that strange beat. I just loved it. I loved it because it wasn't the samey sameness. You know, we're going into the new. So our minds are being renewed, are being stretched. So God's going to put us in situations like that, where actually at the end we are going to think, well, I've never been in anything like that before. Was it really the Holy Spirit? What was going on there? You know, because he wants to make our journey exciting. He doesn't want us to live in sameness. You know, Shine Jesus Shine was a wonderful song. You know what I mean? But we don't want to still be singing it 20, 25 years later. And I'm sure the person who wrote it doesn't want us to be singing it 25 years later, you know? You know, we need to move on and where the Holy Spirit is going. And it's a journey he's taking us on. And he wants it to be exciting and exhilarating. And he wants it to be dynamic and even diverse. So, you know, yeah, sure, we can have a prophetic word sung in bluesy jazz. You know, awesome. Awesome. You know, he's moving and causing us to move on into the new. And if you remember back last July, probably, I think it was probably the first message Paul brought, it was about moving us from being a Moses to a Joshua generation. And the difference there was that Moses, in under Moses' leadership, they didn't have to do anything. God blessed them, God gave them their food, their shoes didn't wear out. How boring is that, ladies? For a start, but anyway. You know, they had everything they needed. And in Joshua's time, it was right now, we've got to move. And we've actually got to move into the promised land. And once we get into the promised land, they had to start digging wells. They had to start planting. You know, they had stuff to do. And it's like that for us. God is just saying, you know, just stretch that bit more. Just do that little bit more. You know, we're moving and we're doing this thing. And we're not just sitting back in the sameness. Bless me, God. Yeah, we had a good Sunday and do nothing else. It's a new season and a new time. So that's stretch. So enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. And I mean, I don't have to say anything for that one, really. Just don't hold back.
Yeah.
Don't allow fear or timidity or even shyness to hold you back from a decision or an action. We need to start having a have-a-go sort of mentality. You know, God said to me when we were praying about whether to come or not, it's in the front of my Bible, Thursday the 29th of March 2007. This is after Pastor Colin had asked, would we like, or would we consider coming and moving up here? And God said this very profound thing to me. As you can see, I'm quite a profound person from the, my God is so big and Jesus loved me, but this is what he said to me. Do it scared, but do it. It was so profound I typed it out and stuck in the front of my Bible. He did give me a few verses as well, but don't hold back. Just do it scared.
Yeah, that's it. That's good.
Go and ask your neighbour to the jazz thing. You know, what's the worst they can do? I say, well, thank you, no thank you, that's not for me. Or they might say something a bit rude. But at the end of the day, what does that matter, really?
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like, you know. So don't hold back. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Lengthen. Let's go further. Let's go further in output, further in effort, that extra mile than ever before as we move into his purposes. Philippians 3:12 says, But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, there's stuff out there in this vastness, there's stuff out there in this spaciousness which Jesus Christ has taken hold of for us. And he's waiting for us to walk into it and take hold of it. So if we need to lengthen a bit, let's lengthen. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Strengthen speaks to me of just having a stronger capacity, an ability to actually be able to handle more responsibility. So we need to be committed in growing in our prayer and our worship and our study and in even in our friendships and our caring and our loving one another.
Yes, that's right.
We need to be committed to growing in all those, because I really do believe that God has done something with this church and is doing something with this church corporately, character-wise.
Yes, he is.
And we need to continue to strengthen in that, because he wants to give us his gift of glory.
Yes.
I'm convinced of it.
Yes.
And if we haven't got the right character, we won't be able to hold that glory.
Yes, right.
Okay. God is really training us to hold his fullness so we can give his fullness.
Yes.
You know, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do.
Yes.
And that's a good job. Because he's got a lot to do.
Yes.
And he's got a lot to do through us.
Yes.
If we want to make an impact or an influence or have an effect on this town, we know we need a big God.
Yes.
We can either look at the little dot or we look at our God. And I guess today, I'm just saying to you, let's look at a big God.
Yes.
Let's not shrink God out or let other things become magnified. But let's just know he's a big God and he loves us.
Amen.
And it's yes and amen, he says to us.
Yes, amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.